Now, we've been studying from the Gospel of Luke, the Lord's Prayer, but it's also mentioned in Matthew. And Matthew adds, hallowed be thy name. And then Matthew adds, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer rightly begins and ends with praise to God. When we begin the Lord's Prayer, we worship him. Hallowed be thy name. We acknowledge he's a holy God, and we praise him. And then at the end of the prayer, we praise him again. Right? It's a kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. So we want to talk about the kingdom, and we want to talk about the power, and we want to talk about the glory, which Brother Gordon used to say is better felt than felt. I don't know that that's proper English, but the idea is some of these things are better experienced than just talked about. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When we pray, thine is the kingdom, we're recognizing that it speaks to the sovereignty of God over all of his vast creation. He is in control. We hear that expression used, God is in control. And then you look around and you say, it doesn't look like it. What do we mean by that? God is in control. His sovereign will shall ultimately and inevitably be accomplished. God's will is going to be accomplished in this world and in the world to come. Now, there's no doubt about that. And God is overseeing his creation. You know, God doesn't manifest his control by forcing people to do his will. Right? If he forced us to do his will, then of course his will is going to be done. We have no choice. But the amazing thing about God is that in his infinite wisdom, he orchestrates all the choices man makes by the exercise of his free will to accomplish his purpose and to bring glory to his name. Isn't that amazing? He lets us make our own choices. Certainly, he sends the Holy Spirit to guide and influence and so on. But ultimately, we make our own choices, and God somehow orchestrates all that to accomplish his will. We see that when Jesus was crucified, right? They made their choice. They were jealous of Jesus. They hated him. They wanted to do away with him. And so they made their choice to crucify Christ. But God used those choices to bring salvation to us. That was God's a method of atoning for our sin and bringing his wonderful salvation to mankind. When I was a kid, you know, the name came to me this morning, and I'm surprised because there was an artist on TV called John Nagy. Not John Heggie. I think it was John Nagy. I'll have to look that up. But the thing that fascinated me about him is he would have someone come up and give him a marker, and say, okay, make a mark on any mark you want on this paper, on this pad. Kid would make a squiggly line. Okay, give the marker to another kid. The other kid would make a triangle. And then another one would make a straight line. And then he said, okay, what do you want me to draw out of this? And they said, a duck. And amazingly, he would begin to take all of these shapes, leave them where they are, and draw around them and connect them, and by the time he was done, he drew a duck, an airplane, whatever. He let you make the squiggles, and then in his great artistic mind and talent, he was able to create what he wanted with it. And I think of that when I think of God allowing us to make our choices, our squiggles, and then God in his tremendous wisdom, he just puts it all together somehow, and he draws the picture that he wants. Praise God. So, he doesn't force us to do his will, but he, in his great wisdom, orchestrates it all. In Revelation, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne of the Lamb forever. Tens of thousands are worshiping him in heaven, and they're looking down on earth, and they're seeing that God is getting his will done. Oh, we see the enemy, we see his work all around us, but they have a different perspective from heaven. They see what God is doing. They see the glory of God filling the earth. They see the plan of God going forward, maybe in a way that we don't see right now. And they're praising him for it. Thine is the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to him. The kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. His kingdom will stand forever when all the other kingdoms fail. And then thine is the power. That speaks to the omnipotence of God, right? All power in heaven and earth is his. And nothing can stand in the way of him fully executing his divine plan and purpose. All power belongs to him. I like the verse in Psalm 62. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongs mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Psalm 62, 11 and 12. You know, those two have to go together. The power of God and the mercy of God. Because God is all powerful, we would fear him because we're sinners, because we've displeased him. And he has the power to annihilate us if he chose to. But because God is love, because God is mercy, he doesn't use that power to hurt us. He uses that power to protect us and to bless us and to provide for us. When Jesus stood up in the boat and he told the wind and the waves to be quiet and they got still, the disciples were shocked. They had never seen such power. Here he had power over nature. And it said they feared. But then as they spent time with Jesus, they saw how compassionate and how loving and how merciful he was, and that he never used that power to hurt anybody. He only used that power to heal and deliver and set people free. And there was nothing that, no bondage that the enemy could put upon a person that the power of Jesus couldn't break. All power is given unto him. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and I'll be with you, and I'll give you power to overcome and do my work. And then the last one is the glory. Thine is the glory forever. Because the kingdom and power belong to God, the glory is rightfully his as well. I found a quote which I thought was good. The Bible speaks of glory in two ways. His intrinsic glory and his ascribed glory. His intrinsic glory is the revelation of all that God is. It's the sum total of all his divine perfections and holy attributes. When we get a sight of God, we just see the glory of God. The glory of God is who he is, his perfection. All his divine perfections and holy attributes. In addition, there's the ascribed glory. That's the glory that we give to him. That's the praise that we offer him, which is the glory that is given to him. This is the praise and honor due his name. Such glory is ascribed to him alone. Nobody deserves praise and glory as the Lord does. When Isaiah saw his vision in the temple, he saw the seraphim, these angelic beings surrounding the throne, and they're crying one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And here we go. They said, the whole earth is full of his glory. That's what the angels are saying in heaven, around the throne, again, as they look upon earth. The whole earth is full of his glory. The Lord said, as surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And the angels, they see that already. And they're praising him. Praise God. And so the primary focus and goal of all prayer is for us to be riveted upon the glory of God, and then his name to be praised and glorified. Praise God. Our Father which art in heaven, and then thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's found in Matthew chapter 6. It's not mentioned in Luke. Matthew added that.
Praise God.
And I'm glad he did, because it really sort of sums things up for us. Our purpose in praying is not just to get what we want. Our ultimate purpose in praying is to glorify God. To find out what he wants. To find grace to do what he wants. To find what pleases him. And when you begin to pray for the glory of God, not for your own benefit, but when you really begin to pray, let your will be done. Let your name be glorified. You'll begin to see God move in your life. I just close with this thought. You know, Hannah couldn't have children. And she wanted children so badly, and she prayed for children, and the Lord didn't answer her prayer for some time. And then one day she was praying. She was in the temple there and praying, crying. And the priest saw her. He thought she was drunk. I don't know exactly why. And she said, "No, I'm not, but my heart is broken. I've been praying that God would give me a son." And she got to the place where she stopped just praying, "God, give me a son, because I'd love to have a baby, because I want my family, I'd love to have a family, because people are looking at me like there's something wrong with me and that God has cursed me because I haven't been able to have children." And she began to pray, "Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you so he can serve you." Maybe she realized that the condition of the nation was in bad shape, and that God needed to raise up someone that he could use to turn the people back to God. And so she said, "Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And that's when God answered her prayer. When it was not for herself, but the answer was for the glory of God. And you know, in every area of our life, we ought to consider that. Lord, how can what I'm asking for, will that glorify you? If it doesn't glorify you, then I shouldn't ask for it. But if I can use it to glorify God, then I know that God hears and I can expect an answer. Praise God. So, we should sing, "To God be the glory. Great things he has done."
To God be the glory, great things he has done. O Lord, he loved the world and he gave us his Son, who lived in his life and atonement for sin, and opened the light that all may go in. Praise the Lord. rejoices.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Lord, we pray you'll put your seal of blessing upon us now.
Amen.
Pray that you'll cover us with your precious blood. We pray that you'll protect us as we travel. And for those that stay, Lord, we pray that you'll watch over us as well. Bless those that are on their way up. Bless this youth retreat that is before us. And then our brother Ernie as he comes to minister. Lord, thank you for the combination of people that you brought together, that you brought into my life and to one another's lives at this time. We thank you that we've been enriched through our fellowship with you and with one another. Now we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.